Well, what a joy to be back. I love coming when the holidays are coming. Because you always go home on the holidays, right? And it's good to be home at Church of Hope. If I haven't met you, I hope I will. Let me just share with you why you need to pick these up off your seat, take them with you, hand them out. Simple to hand them out. Just say, hey, we'd love to have you for the resurrection celebration. And also these door hangers. Now, let me tell you about these door hangers, all right? So we began to be deeply concerned about where I live in North Texas. North Texas has three of the fastest growing cities in the whole country, and all of the United States are in North Texas. And so all these people are coming in and they're moving in. Where I live in Dallas, 1 million every 10 years move in. Everybody from California is coming. Someone's going to hang the empty sign pretty soon out there. And they're just coming. And we want to reach our communities for Christ. And so we have begun going in to every area of the Assemblies of God, churches, all the churches in the Assemblies of God in North Texas, and taking people from those churches out to hang door hangers like this. So let me tell you about one, Abilene, Texas. I was there, I was leading that team, and we were going around door to door, just hanging these. And what we do is we just knock on the door. If they answer the door, great. If they don't, we just hang them. But if they answer the door, we hand them to them. And so I knock on the door, and this gentleman answers. He's older, and I said, hey, how are you? We're here inviting. There's a church going to open next week in the movie theater that they just built, and so I want you to feel free to come. We want to have you. And he said, well, I just moved here. He said, this is my daughter's house, and we just moved here. Now, listen, he gave me a way to bless him. Okay, so let me help you with this. When you hand these out, just listen redemptively. What did I say? Listen redemptively. Listen to bless the person. B, if they say anything about their body, then you've got to pray for them. L, if they say anything about their labor or their work, pray with them. E, B-L-E, if they say anything about their emotions, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm glad, okay? If they say anything about their social status, now he said, I just moved here with my daughter. So he told me something, a transition he's going through. And then he said this, because we think my wife's cancer's back. Now he gave me something about the body. The last S is something spiritual. And he did. Then he said this, and we don't have any church that we attend in this area. So now he gave me the S, the spiritual, of bless. So I had three ways that I could bless him. And I said to him, I said, would you like me to pray with you about your transition and about finding a church and about your wife? He opened the door, stepped out on the porch, and went just like this. I took one hand, the person that was with me took the other hand, we prayed. And when we looked up, he was crying. The next week, he was in that church, that new church plant. He is still there today. He's a part of that church. I am telling you, grab a bundle of these, all right? Now, a third thing is going to happen with this. Later on, as I'm speaking, right about the time that you think, is he done? They're going to come to your row, and they're going to hand out some hearts. And you're going to write in those hearts the names of the people you're going to start praying for and that you're going to purposely invite. Okay? Now, if you don't want to put their name on there, you can put their initial, because on your way out, I want you to post that on the strips that are by the door of white paper that are there, because all week long, people are going to start praying for those people. Now, you're going to understand why. Because some of you noticed I have a heart floating over my head. How many of you have noticed? When I was young, when I was a boy, there was an illustration, there was a story that changed my view of the cross, changed my view of Easter. How many of you have ever heard a story changed? You remembered it, you didn't remember much else, but you remembered that. Changed the way you look at stuff. It was a story of a 10-year-old boy. And when they started talking about this 10-year-old boy, I related to him, okay? Because this 10-year-old kid was getting in trouble in school, getting in trouble at home, did a lot of things, and I've got to be honest with you, when I was younger, I got myself in some trouble. I knew what it was to have to go to the office, and do you remember when they used to use the wood paddle? Yeah, I got some of those. It really damaged me, didn't it? That was before political correctness. Amen. Okay. And when they said that, I'm like, oh, is he talking about me? And then he talked about how this kid would throw his baseball in his bedroom, and he had one of those trampoline things that he probably got from someone who bought it for exercise, and he put it in his bedroom, and he would throw his baseball, and he'd catch it. But the baseball would hit the lamp, break the lamp, hit the furniture, damage the furniture, and he had been told, time and time and time again, stop that, don't do that, don't throw that baseball in your bedroom, in the house. Don't throw that baseball. Well, I remember some, having to sit behind the piano with my nose in third grade, and I remember all that stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can relate to all this. And then he said this. He said, and that boy's dad was sitting downstairs in the house, and that kid was throwing that baseball, and sure enough, that baseball bounced off that trampoline and broke out the bedroom window. Well, I had broken a few windows. I'm going to be honest with you. I took a hammer to the front door once because they wouldn't unlock it. And I'm listening. And he said his dad came upstairs and took his belt off. Now I can relate. Because how many of you had a dad that used to take his belt off? My dad used to say this, can you smell this? And I could. How many of you remember that? Some of you are going, no way, not me. No, that's because you were raised after us. And his dad took his belt, and he said, here, son, I want you to use this belt. And the dad took his shirt off. And the dad laid himself across the bed. And he said, I want you to take that belt, and I want you to hit me as hard as you can 7 times across my back until my back welts up. And the boy started crying. And he said, what do you mean? What do you mean, Dad? I'm the one that broke the window. I'm the one that didn't listen to you. I'm the one that's always in trouble. And his dad said, no. He said, I'm serious. He said, we're not leaving this room. You're not leaving this room. I'm not leaving this room until you hit me 7 times hard. And if you don't hit me hard, we're going to do it again. First time he hit his dad said, you didn't hit me hard. And until that boy began to hit him hard, and left welts on his back, that dad finally sat up. The boy was crying. And he said, I did this because I want you to understand something. He said, Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross. He said, who laid the stripes on his back? Who crucified Jesus? And the young boy said, well, I don't know, Dad, the Romans. No. The Jews? No. His father crucified him. Are you listening to me? It changed my view of the cross. It changed my view of what happened at the cross. You see, the father punished his son so that he would not have to punish us. He said, you punish me today so that I would not have to punish you. It changed my life. And so I prayed before coming here because I knew that I was supposed to wrap up chapter 5 of 1 John. Now, you're in a series called on 1 John, Love Brings Joy, and I brought that. And I want you to take your notes out because we're going to go there, but I asked for an illustration that you would remember because listen to me, you're going to forget what I say. You're going to forget I was here. And one of these days you're going to go, you know what, I can't remember who did this, but this guy came and he had this heart that was floating over his head and he taught me something through that. And you're going to tell somebody what you learned from this heart that is attached to you. Did you hear me? This heart is attached to you, sir. It's attached to you. It's attached to you. And that heart is the heart of God. It's called the Hesed. Now, the reason I want you to know what it's called, and if you want to Google it or ask Alexa, she can tell you all about it. Because 246 times, the Hesed is talked about in the Old Testament. 246 times that word is used. Now, how many of you think if it's used 246 times, God's trying to tell us something? The Hesed started in the book of Genesis. It started in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 16 to 19, when we see that because of original sin, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, dissatisfaction and boredom with life became a part of the fall. Every one of you need to understand something. The reason you are dissatisfied and the reason you get bored with life is because it's part of the fall. It's part of the original sin. You were born with that problem. The other day, I was with my son. And we were in a town and we were driving by these automobile dealers, and there was a Bugatti dealer. And he said, Dad, have you ever driven one of those? I said, no. He said, let's stop. Maybe they'll let us drive it. My wife said, they ain't gonna let you drive it. I said, we're stopping. Do you know what a Bugatti sells for? Oh, no. $3.2 million. There's only 300 made a year, $3.2 million. It costs $20,000 a year to tune it up, whether you drive it or not. You have to have it tuned up every year, $20,000. So there was a used one. I thought, man, he'll let me drive the used one. It only had 3,000 miles. And I said to the dealer, he was really kind, he was really nice to me. And I said, why would he trade in? It's only got 3,000 miles. He says, because you don't buy them to drive them. You drive them so people say, you got a Bugatti? You drive them so you can sit in them, let people see you in them. You drive them so you can put someone special in the other seat and just kind of take them around the block. But I'm going to tell you something. When you drive home today, you watch the Bentley pull by you. You watch the Mercedes. You watch the Porsche. And I'm going to tell you something. The day you own one is the day you'll realize you're still dissatisfied and you still don't have joy. Amen. How do I know it? How do I know it? I said to the guy, why would he trade in a car with 3,000 miles when he paid $3.2 million? He said, because he was bored of that one and he wanted that one. And he pointed to the one the guy had just bought. He hadn't picked it up yet. And I went over and touched it. Because the day he drives it off the lot, he'll be bored with that one. That's why people get bored with their wife, get bored with their marriage. Get bored with the house. That's why people move down here and build a $3 million place on Siesta Key. It's not that they're at an age where they need a $3 million house. It's not that they need that. It's that they're maybe this is what life is all about. And then they find out it's not. Because here's what life is all about. And so we find that love brings joy. And now you're going to understand what this means, this love brings joy, okay? So I want you to grab this, and I want you to understand this, because here's what it says in 1 John 5. So first, now John is wrapping up the whole book, and he's going to restate everything that you've heard for the last few weeks. And you said, it sounds like Pastor's been repeating himself. He has, because John does. And you say, why does John keep repeating that stuff? It's like he doesn't know we're hearing it, and it's because you're not. Most of you have sentimentalized the word love. And love is a verb, it is not a noun, and that's why some of you think you can fall out of love. I've fallen out of love. You don't fall out of love, you fall out of bed. Love is a verb. She's going to care for you when your mind starts going, sir. Because she's showing true love, a verb. And you're going to care for her when they give her the chemo. And her hair falls out. And she feels awful. That's love. That's love. But we've messed up the whole meaning of it. You see, here's what it's all about. And I want you to read from your notes. We'll start reading through chapter 5. I write these things, John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now notice, he doesn't say so that you'll know you're going to get eternal life. He's not saying you get eternal life. You have eternal life when you believe the testimony of God and you surrender your life to Jesus. You have eternal life. You have eternal life now. This is not talking about quantity of life. That's bios. The word here is not for life. It's not bios, which we get the word biology, okay? So bios would be the Greek word for life. Biology is the study of life, okay? That's what it means, okay? So, but that's not the word here. It's the word zoe. It's the word zoe, which is the quality of life. It's not the quantity of life that you get. It's the quality of life you get. And it's not something you're looking forward to. It's something you get today. That's what he's telling us. You see, the love of God brings joy. Because Zoe, or the Hesed, is this loving kindness of God, and it's the energy for life, it's the meaning for life, it's the joy in life, it's the exhilaration in life, it's the satisfaction in life, and it only comes from God. It's from His heart to your heart, and the Hesed is being, it's all around you, it's reaching to you, it's tied to you, it's tied to every one of us here, and it started in the book of Genesis, because what did God do when Adam and Eve sinned? He sought them out, and they were afraid because of their shame and guilt, and they hid. What did he do? He found them, and he's trying to find you. He's trying to find you today. He's trying to give you the meaning, the satisfaction, and the joy of his love. And he wants his heart to hover over you and be connected to you. It's called eternal life. Eternal life. See, Job, in the book of Job, he goes through great suffering. His children die. He's sick. And he asks this question of God. Read the book. Here's what he says. He says, is it God? If someone dies, will they live again? Isn't that interesting? Job is asking, in the midst of his suffering, if someone dies, will they live again? He's looking for the resurrection story. and we haven't even had the cross yet. We ought to have a better understanding than Job did, and God said, yes, they will live again. Job is concerned about eternal life, and we know we have eternal life because Jesus paid the price so that we could have eternal life. He was the one that was beaten by his Father. He was crucified by his Father so that you and I would not have to die for our sin. Now watch this. Eternal life connects us to the heart of God. Say that with me. Yeah, put that word connects in your notes. Here's what it says in 1 John. For this is the love for God, to keep his commands. In other words, there's the trouble. Right away, he wants me to keep his commands. If I love God, that means I have to keep his commands. And that's where the problem comes. I don't want to have anybody telling me what to do. Well, guess what? That's a rule. That's your rule. You don't want to have anybody telling you what to do. And that's the problem with God. No, God is saying if you keep the commands, it's because you understand this incredible love that I have for you and this incredible joy that is yours and this incredible meaning and this incredible satisfaction. And so you live according to his commands because it's what's good. It's what's going to bring the best out of your life. No. Instead, we go, no, I don't want to do that. He's not going to tell me what to do. That's a rule. But life is based on rules. You wouldn't go to watch a baseball game if the guy got up, hit the ball, ran to second, ran to first, ran home, and started jumping up and down, high-fiving his buddies, and the umpire goes, you're out! And he looks at him and goes, no, I'm not, because I don't believe what you believe. Nobody would go to a baseball game if the rules weren't there. And yet you look at God and tell him, don't you tell me that. I don't believe what you believe. You wouldn't go to a football game. You wouldn't go to a basketball game without rules. And guess what? You wouldn't have math and you wouldn't have music because everything in life, it floats on rules. And that's why Plato said it. He said it so clearly. He said it so clearly when he tells us that the tyrant who lives by his own rules he's in utter hopelessness. And that's what Solomon said. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, I'm the wisest guy. I'm the richest guy. I've got 1,000 wives, and yet it's vanity, vanity. All is vanity. You don't want to play by the rules. You don't get it. When you're in the chesed of God, you follow the rules, not because if you break them, the love and the presence and the loving kindness and the steadfastness and the mercy and grace of God leaves you. Now, this is the problem. Some of you think if you break the rule that the love of God leaves you, that the loving kindness and the mercy and grace of God leaves you. But stick with me because 1 John tells us what happens here. See, eternal life connects us to the heart of God. David said it, the Lord is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. It's the word chesed. It says it in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast chesed. It's all through the word of God. Psalms 33, verses 5, 36, verse 7. It says the chesed, the loving kindness of God, covers the earth. It covers the earth. It's chasing after us. Now watch this. Because here's what it says, and this is so important. So we see here, point two, and you can fill this in. Eternal life satisfies our every desire and ultimate joy. This is the key passage, is verse 9. Verse 9 is the key verse in this chapter. And here's what it says. It says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater. Because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. And whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. Whoa! John throws one at us. You make God a liar when you don't believe his testimony. How will you say, I believe his testimony? Do you really? Do you really? Do you really? You know what it means to believe the testimony of man? It means that when it gets tough to live for God, you back off. It means that you choose and pick what you want to believe out of the Bible, and you choose and pick what you want to follow, and you choose and pick, and you say, well, I believe this, but I don't know if I believe this. No, that's not it. The testimony of God is his loving kindness, his steadfastness, his mercy towards Israel. When they blew it, he forgave them. When they messed up, he brought them back. When they lost it all, he restored them. That is God, and that's how God wants to live for you. And here's the deal. Here's what we do. Instead, we live believing what comes across our phone. We pick our phone up more than we pick the Bible up. We read Facebook more than we pray. So you get 100,000 followers and you're still dissatisfied and you're still anxious and you're still frustrated. It's because you're believing the testimony of man rather than the testimony of God. You see, only eternal life brings true joy. Love brings joy. Zoe. This ultimate meaning in life. But we have to believe the testimony of God. We have to follow him. We have to follow his ways. Now watch this. Because this gets good. Point number 3. This is John's conclusion. Eternal life means that we can ask questions. Now how many have had some questions about God? How many have had trouble believing some stuff? Come on, how many of you said, I don't know if I believe that? Okay, now the ushers are going to hand you these hearts because a lot of your neighbors and a lot of your friends are at this point in life and they've had questions and they go, I don't know if I believe in church and I don't know if I believe in God and I don't know if I, okay, we've all had questions, but I want you to understand something. It says this here, now listen to this. It says, watch this, this is so important. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know, say that, we know that we are the children of God. That means he's our father. He's our loving father. He's our steadfast father. He's our loyal father. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't send us out as orphans. He says, I adopt you into my family. We know we're the children of God, that the whole world is under control of the evil one, but we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us what? Given us this incredible loving kindness, this steadfastness that is ours, understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. Now, here's the deal. Listen to me. You say, but what if I question God? What if I question God? What if I'm having trouble knowing? No problem. Notice what it says here. There's a sin unto death, and there is a sin that is not unto death. So when you question God, and even when you sin, and even when you use his name in vain, come on, how many have ever used his name in vain? Two honest ones, bunch of liars. That doesn't separate you. That doesn't cut loose his heart from you. See, some of you have a wrong understanding of the chesed. You think if you do behavioral things that are sin, it separates you from God. No, it doesn't. There is a sin unto death, and there is a sin that is not unto death. And if you pray for those people, because if they pray, if they confess their sin, he is faithful and just to forgive their sin. So it isn't that you get separated by your sin. It's that, listen to me, when you no longer believe the testimony of God about his Son and about the cross and about the resurrection and about all his goodness throughout all of the Bible, that's the sin unto death. But if you continue to return to that testimony, you say, but I've done it and I keep failing. Keep coming back. Because his chesed towards you is good. He is good. We've been singing about it. He is good. He is good. He is good. He has reckless love. Here's the problem. Eric Ren wrote it in the City Journal. He said before the 1990s, a Christian was seen as responsible and a good character and a plus to society. But during the 90s, it all shifted. Now it became neutral. You believe what you want and I'll believe what I want. But he said today, it's not even there. Today, to be a Christian is to be labeled as exclusive. You're exclusive. You're exclusive. You have exclusive truth. Listen to me. We do have exclusive truth, and that exclusive truth is to the whole world. It's to everybody. That's why we're inviting everybody to Easter, because the exclusive truth is for everybody. Do you hear it? And it is that the chesed, the loving kindness of God, is to all people. It's to you. It's to you. It's to you. And you can't shake it unless you deny the testimony of God and make him a liar. He chases after you. It's Psalm 23. Surely and will all of my, you have eternal life, and the chesed, goodness and mercy, chases you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will. And the greatest fear out there is death. But even when you walk through it, you have no fear, because guess what? You say, how does it work? Well, here's how it works. Here's how it works. It's because the Father sent his Son. Reckless love. Listen to these words as Mark sings them, as Mark begins to sing them. Listen to it. It's this reckless love. What do you mean the reckless? The Father sent the Son, and the Son went to the cross. He bore the stripes on his back for our healing. In just a moment, we're going to pray for healing. In just a moment, we're going to pray for people to be healed. And we're going to pray for people to come to salvation. How does it work? How does it work? Here's how it works. Watch this. So when Jesus hung on the cross, he said these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in the eternal history of Jesus, the Son of God, as he hung on that cross, he was separated. The loving kindness of his Father. And he felt the meaninglessness. For the first time in his life, he didn't have joy. For the first time in his eternal history, the steadfast, loyal, merciful, gracious, loving kindness was gone. And that's why he screamed out those words. And the Father let him experience it so that you and I would never have to experience it. Why are you inviting your friends? Why are you writing their names down? Why are you going to post them up on that white sheet of paper? Those hearts that you've been given, write down those names or those initials of those people that you're going to invite. Why? Because we're going to put them on the sheet. We're going to pray. And when we pray, guess what? God begins to pull at their heart with the chesed. He begins to tug them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they don't understand it, but they're going to say yes. And they're going to come and they're going to respond to God. You say, why? Because he wants all exclusive. You're gotta be kidding. This is an exclusive truth. This is for all. And it's for you today. It's for you. It's for you too. It's for you. It's for you. Would you bow your heads with me? I want you to listen to these words. Chasing you. The chesed of God is chasing you. You can't get away. You have to deny the testimony of God and make God a liar. He's chasing you today. He's chasing you today. Tugging at your heart. Say, Sam, I don't know that I believe the testimony of God the way I should, and I don't know that I'm where I need to be with Jesus. He's chasing you today. He sent me here for you today. I'm going to count to three. And every one of you that's here today that would say, Sam, I'm not sure that I believe the testimony of God. I'm not sure that I'm following Him. I'm not sure that I'm living in His ascend love. I'm not sure that His heart is attached to me. His love is flowing through me. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, whether you attend this church or not, it doesn't matter. I want you to look at your own heart. I want you to tell me, do you believe the testimony of God, or do you deny it? And if you're here and you say, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and if I died today, I don't know if heaven would be my home, and I don't know if I'd live with God forever or not. I don't know where I'm at with Jesus. When I get to three, I want you to throw your hands straight up in the air, honesty, straight up in the air. And when you do, Jesus is going to see it, and He's going to grab it, because the chesed of God, the loving kindness, the steadfastness that's reaching to you, His grace and His mercy is going to be yours today. He's going home with you today. If you're not sure, when I get to three, throw your hands straight up. One, two, three. Lift it right there. Right there. Yeah. 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 Now let's pray all over this room with these who lifted their hand. And maybe you didn't lift it, but you said, I should have. I should have. And let's pray. Let's pray right out loud. Let's pray together right now. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you that you're not mad at me, that you haven't forsaken me. You came and gave your life for me. You took my place. Your Father forsook you so that He would never forsake me. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the chesed. I will walk in it for the rest of my days, because I have eternal life. And I'm going to walk in it on this earth and way beyond, because I have eternal life. The quality of the joy and the meaning of life and the satisfaction of life. No matter what comes my way. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look right here. Prayer team, if you would come, and if you would stand across the front. Three things are going to happen right now. Three things. One, you're going to take that heart. You're going to take that heart that you were given. You're going to write the names in there of the people you're going to invite and the people you're going to be prayed for salvation. Loved ones and family and neighbors and friends. Write them on that. There's a pen in the seat in front of you. Just write it down. Secondly, those of you that prayed with me just a moment ago and surrendered your life to Jesus and made a new commitment to Him and entered into a relationship with Him, the Hesed, in a new way, you're going to come forward with everybody else in just a minute, and you're going to stop with these people that are here and they're praying, and you're just going to say, today I became connected to the heart of God. I became connected to the heart of God. And they're going to pray for you. They're going to pray with you. And then you're going to go, number three, everybody's going to go to the communion tables today. And you're going to take bread and you're going to take the juice, the symbol of the blood and the broken body. And you're going to remember. You do it in remembrance. What? In remembrance of the Hesed of God. That eternal life is ours because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And we take that, and I want you to see Him saying those words and being separated from God's presence and from God's heart so that we would never have to be separated. I want you to see it as you partake of it today. And then I want you to take your names that are in that heart, and outside as you go to those doors, I want you to paste it up there on one of those white sheets by the door. There's going to be hundreds of them there already, and you're going to add to those. People are going to be praying for your friends and your loved ones. You're going to go and pick up the door hangers. You're going to take the five cards. And this Easter, we are going to see the grace and mercy of God poured out on hundreds and hundreds of people. Hundreds. Would you stand with me today? Sing it. Sing it, Mark. Sing it. Sing it with him. Start coming right now to the communion table. Start coming for prayer, for healing. Start telling these people up here, I became connected to the heart of God today. I made a commitment to Jesus. I surrender. Come on. From all over this room.
Still you give yourself.